Welcome to the Generation Podcast, an audio resource dedicated to a generation of young people who are committed to total surrender to God and total dependence on His power to reach the world with the gospel of Christ. This podcast is designed to strengthen and encourage through a series of Bible-based practical talks. Last week, Ryan Swanson spoke from Romans 1:16 as he demonstrated the importance of a teenager who is unashamed of the gospel. Today, continuing from that same passage, John Pound extends the application and focuses on your influence on Christian friends. Join him in this podcast, I Am Not Ashamed.
Welcome to the Generation Podcast. I'm John Pound, and today I'm speaking to you from Clinton, North Carolina. We've had a great week here conducting the War Special Forces, and today I'd like to speak to you on the subject, I Am Not Ashamed. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." I wonder, are you willing to say today, I'm not ashamed? Or better yet, are you willing to live it? When I first got saved, I didn't come from a churched home. My father was an atheist, and my mom really didn't believe in anything specific. I remember right after I got saved at 15 years old, one of my teachers from my Christian school told my mom that I'd accepted Christ. Now at the time, before my salvation, I was an atheist. In fact, I had a lot of pride in the fact that I didn't believe in God. And on that ride home after my teacher had told my mom about that, my mother looked over at me and she said, "So you got saved. You never let me know. Why?" And I remember in the moment, I couldn't think of what to say. And so I looked at her and I said, "Well, Mom, I just made that decision to try to get them off my back. Everybody was asking me if I was a Christian. Most people knew that I wasn't. And I figured if I just made the decision, then people would leave me alone." Right after the words came out of my mouth, I felt deep conviction. I really had gotten saved, and I really did believe on Jesus. But my pride was keeping me from admitting it to my own mom. I sat there in the car for probably another 10-15 minutes on the car ride as the Lord began to convict me, because I knew that Jesus wasn't ashamed of me. Why should I be ashamed of him? Before the car ride was over, I looked at my mom and I said, "Mom, I need to admit to you I lied to you just now. I really did get saved. I really did trust Jesus." Unfortunately, that wouldn't be the only time that I had to make a decision to be honest about my faith and to not be ashamed of it. I went to a large Christian school. There were a lot of students. And to be perfectly honest, the majority of them didn't live for God. In fact, I'm sure there were more kids that were there like me before when I was an atheist. During my time in the Christian school, several times, I can remember times where kids would mock the preacher, make fun of the Bible, say dirty jokes in the locker room. And if I have any regret from my teenage years, it's that I didn't take more of a stand for Jesus. Oh, I wasn't doing the wrong thing. I wasn't involved in what these kids were doing. I didn't make dirty jokes. I didn't curse. I didn't listen to the music that they listened to. God had saved me from all that. But I never said anything about it either. I never stuck up for the Lord. I never spoke up. I remembered in graduation, I was voted best Christian testimony in my Christian high school. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I wish I'd made more of an impact. I wish I'd said something. Since then, God has obviously worked in my heart in many ways, and now I have the privilege of standing unashamed of Jesus every week as I preach to teenagers and work with young people all over the country. But if I could go back and I could sit down across the table from my 15-year-old self right after my salvation, I would say, don't be afraid to stand for God. Because when you take a stand for God, you always stand with the majority. Several years ago, we were in a Christian school in Phoenix, Arizona. There was a young man there by the name of David. Typically, when we did the war nights, I would walk by a kid and I would ask him, "Hey, are you coming tonight?" As I walked past David, I saw him sitting on a bench by himself, and I just said, "Hey, David, are you coming?" David was a senior. He was one of the few seniors there in that school. And most of our ministry team that week was burdened for David. David looked at me and he said, "Nah, I don't think I'm going to be able to come tonight to the rally." And I said, "Well, why not? What's going on?" And he said, "Well, I don't think my parents are going to let me." So I probed a little bit more. "Well, why aren't your parents going to let you come?" And then he told me, "Well, I just came out of the principal's office. And today I told him everything that I've been cheating on in all of my classes for the last several years here at the school." I was shocked. I knew David had needs, but that was intense. Then David went on to tell me about other things that he'd been doing. And he said, "I decided today in chapel that I was going to get it right. And so now that I've talked to the principal, I'm going to go home and I'm going to talk to my parents and spill my guts. Tell them everything I've been doing behind their back. I really don't think they're going to let me go." I said, "Well, I think you're making the right decision, David, and I understand. I'll be praying for you." And that was about it. I left. I didn't see David that night. But the next morning when David walked into school, he had the biggest smile on his face. God had worked in his heart. And David talked to his parents. And instead of getting wrath and anger that he thought he would get, his parents were broken. They were thankful that he made the decision. But it didn't end there. We had an invitation after chapel that morning for teenagers that had made a decision that week to come back and have a prayer meeting. About halfway through the prayer meeting, David walked in with two other seniors in the school. I thought they were coming to pray. But David walked right past the prayer meeting and went straight back to his team captain. He asked his team captain to sit down with him, and he took these two senior guys and sat down in the back foyer of the church. David looked at the two senior guys, and here's what he said. He said, "Hey guys, yesterday I got right with God, the principal, and my parents. I told them all the stuff I've been doing wrong. God forgave me. The principal forgave me. My parents forgave me. And guys, you're both here, and you need to get right with God too, because you've been doing the exact same stuff I've been doing." It was incredible. You could have heard a pin drop. He said, "Guys, this is my team captain." He mentioned him by name. And he said, "I'd encourage you guys right now, if either of you want to get right with God and deal with your sin, he's right here. You can talk with him." One of the two seniors that David had brought back immediately just burst into tears. He went out with the team captain, and they prayed. The other senior looked David in the face, and he said, "No, that's for you, man, but that's not for me." And then he got up and left. I'll never forget what happened next, because it touched me in a way that I don't know that I've been touched by seeing a teenager before. David got down on his knees, and he began to pray for that guy that rejected him. He prayed for over half an hour there in the foyer of that church. That night, during the testimony service, David and those two seniors were all there. David stood to the microphone, and he gave a testimony about how he'd gotten right with God that week. And then in the microphone, he turned to the crowd, and he said, "And there are two of you here today that I spoke with this morning. One of you got right with God, and I'm so happy for that. But one of you didn't. And I just want you to know, I'm still praying for you." Before that night was over, that other young man came to me and said he was ready to deal with his sin and get right with God and his parents. Teenager, all that happened because a senior in high school, David, decided that he wouldn't be ashamed but that he would take a stand for Jesus Christ, no matter what it cost him. I wonder, are you ashamed of Jesus? Are you today willing to say, God, I'll surrender to whatever you want me to do, and I'll depend on you to enable me to do it, and I won't be ashamed of the decisions that I make? I wonder, when people look at your life, do they see Jesus in you? Do you have a testimony that you're the person that takes a stand for God, that you're the person that loves the Lord? Or do you hide that part of your life in front of certain people? Do you fear what other people think? I want to encourage you. Don't be ashamed of God. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Because Jesus wasn't ashamed of you. As you go through your life this week, as you go to your school, as you go to your church, as you see your friends, look to the Lord and say, God, whatever it is you want me to say, I'll say it. Whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. And I know I can't do it in my own strength. But if I depend on you, I know that you'll enable me. Total surrender. Total dependence. That's our theme here at The Generation, and that's really what The Generation is all about. A generation of young people willing to say, I am not ashamed. Are you one of them?
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Generation Podcast. For more faith-inspiring resources and information about joining The Generation, please visit thegeneration.org. That's T-H-E-E generation.org.